Thanks for coming in, Mr. Mahoney. Do you have your member ID card?
Yep, I have it right here in the FEP Blue app. See?
Great.
It's awesome. The app can also help me find a provider and keep tabs on my deductibles.
Okay, can I...
Oh, yeah, and my out-of-pocket spending and visit limits, and I can call the nurse line.
I'm really glad it does all that, but I only need to see your member ID card.
Oh, that's it? Why didn't you say so?
Fearless is just one tap away. With the new FEP Blue app from Blue Cross and Blue Shield, you can access your health benefits on the go. Download it now at fepblue.org/app.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's plate this dish. First day of November, November 1 into November 2. Welcome in another edition of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Matt Derry with you. The best place to get all your Lions information is right here on audioboom.com. If you're listening on iTunes, thank you very much for subscribing and listening. You want Lions news on your way to work each morning, maybe late night on your way home, and really trying to hit the third shifters and certainly the early risers. It's starting to sound like Alicia Smith from Channel 7. Early risers. We bring you Lions coverage right here on Locked On Lions. Thanks for tuning in on a Tuesday into Wednesday. Matt Derry with you. And usually a Tuesday is pretty lame and pretty boring. Not the case. The Lions very active today on this Tuesday as they get ready to take on the Minnesota Vikings coming up Sunday in Minnesota. We'll get to the opposition momentarily. All of a sudden, this doesn't look like such a game that the Lions can't win after watching the Vikings get absolutely poleaxed in Chicago last night by the hapless Bears at Soldier's Field, as Awojo would say. Soldier Field last night was rocking for Chicago. Vikings look bad. We'll get into that coming up. Also, don't forget you could tweet to me at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, or hit me up on the Matt Derry Facebook page, the fan page on Facebook as well for your comments, and those are appreciated. Check us out on FanRagSports.com as well and today'spigskin.com. We are linked there. All the podcasts, the Lockdown podcasts, are all linked there, all the team pages as well. And we thank them for joining us. Locked On Lions today is brought to you by Jason Stratt, the best realtor in town at RE/MAX Suburban. Give him a call at 586-634-2612. And by Freddy's Pizza. Oh, baby, the best slice, really the best slice in town, the best New York slice anywhere. Freddy's Pizza in Melvindale, right there on Allen Road. Check them out, Freddy's Pizza. They rock. All right, when you talk about the Lions and the busy day that Bob Quinn has had, he has made another trade. And, of course, last week it was the dealing of the great Kyle Van Noy from the Lions to the New England Patriots for a seventh-round pick. Today, the Lions have traded a conditional seventh-rounder in 2018 to the Tampa Bay Bucks to pick up cornerback Jonathan Banks. Yes, the Jonathan Banks that the Lions considered years ago in 2013 before drafting his teammate Darius Slay instead, his college teammate instead, out of Mississippi State. Banks last just three-plus seasons in Tampa Bay. This was his fourth year. Hadn't played much at all. And at 6'2", is a guy the Bucks have kind of given up on. If you recall, Banks was a Greg Schiano guy, drafted back in 2013. Well, since they've gone from Schiano to Lovie Smith to now Dirk Cutter. And so Banks, falling out of favor, hadn't played a single down on defense all year, a little bit on special teams, is now a member of the Lions. Now, of course, Lions need cornerbacks. Every team needs cornerbacks. But I like this move. It's a seventh-round pick in 2 years. You got a guy in a contract year in Banks at 6'2", can run a little bit. And we'll find out if this kid can play or not. But the Lions taking a flyer with a seventh-round pick and being aggressive in trading for cornerback Jonathan Banks, pretty good. I like it. I like the move. I think it's something that the Lions, you know, need to do. Anytime you can add cornerbacks, why not go ahead? Think about it. Last week with Darius Slay out, they started Johnson Batamosi at corner, a guy that was pretty much known for just being a special teamer. And instead, got the start last week, didn't play all that badly. But why not get a flyer on Jonathan Banks? Take a flyer on Jonathan Banks. It's aggressive and a good move, I think, by the Lions. And we'll see if a guy at 6'2 can play. We'll get into what just happened to Banks in Tampa with Greg Allman from Locked On Bucks and the Tampa Bay Times coming up in a little bit. We'll get Greg's thoughts on why he just wasn't playing in Tampa. It's not like the Bucks. We know the Bucks have Brent Grimes, and they drafted Vernon Hargraves from Florida. But it's not like the Bucks have, you know, Dixon and Minifield or Hayes and Haynes back there. We'll find out. But anytime you can go out and try to steal a player from another team, and again, there were reports nationally that Banks may have been released by the Bucks because he wasn't playing. So the Lions say, the heck with it. We don't want to go through the waiver process or see if anybody else claims him ahead of us. They went out and dealt the 7th-round pick for him, and we'll see if he can play. You know he'll be motivated and excited to join a team that has one of his best friends on it, Darius Slay. They tweeted to each other already earlier today, so I like it. The Lions being aggressive, they go out and get a Jonathan Banks from Tampa Bay. Also today, Cole Wick has a knee injury, so he's placed on injured reserve. The rookie tight end, Matthew Mulligan, who Wick beat out for a roster spot back at the end of training camp, is back as sort of a backup tight end. Cole Wick, to me, didn't do all that much. I didn't see much from him other than size, and he could run a little bit, but regardless, he's out. Also, Armonte Bryant, who had 3 sacks in 4 games for the Lions and was playing pretty well since coming back from a three-game violation of the NFL's, or a four-game suspension, excuse me, for a violation of the league's policy on performance-enhancing substances, gets a 3-game suspension today from the NFL for violating the NFL's substance abuse policy. He was arrested, Bryant was, the defensive end, back on December 25th of 2015, pled guilty in July to a charge of attempted drug possession. When he was arrested, he was charged with Adderall and oxycodone and were fined in a vehicle that were being driven by one of his former teammates. The Lions did issue a statement today, quote, "When we signed Armonte, we knew additional discipline from the NFL was a possibility due to an incident that occurred in 2015. Since joining our team, Armonte has met our expectations on and off the field." So don't think of this as, oh, Lions sign a guy and he smokes some pot, or Lions sign a guy and he does some drugs. No, this was something they knew was down the pike, but he's played pretty well as sort of a designated outside linebacker, defensive end, pass rush guy. And he's, you know, recorded 3 sacks in the first 4 games. So now he'll sit for the next 3 games. You know, you want to blame Bob Quinn. You want to say, oh, picking up guys with shady pass. The Lions knew this was coming down the road. The Browns cut him after week 4 knowing this was coming. But the Lions thinks he can play and can help him down the road. So whatever. It's a loss for the next 3 weeks not having Armonte Bryant. But you know what? Isn't it time that Ziggy Ansah started pulling his weight and getting to the quarterback? Because really, the Lions' pass rush has been very C-minus this year. You know, Bryant has played pretty well. We know that. And the Lions have gotten, you know, Kerry Hyder has played better than they thought. But I've been disappointed with the play of Devin Taylor this year after I thought he had a pretty good preseason. And I expect more from Ziggy. It's a Pro Bowl caliber player, Pro Bowl player last year. Ezekiel Ansah, get to the quarterback. And he hasn't done it. So, you know, Armonte Bryant being out 3 games doesn't help, certainly. But, again, I think this is a guy long-term that might be able to help this Lions team. So, 3 games, not good. But, again, other guys got to step up. This defense can only get better if Ziggy Ansah would just get going. And we know he had the injury earlier this year with the ankle. But, my goodness, he did not. You couldn't even tell he was on the field Sunday when the team lost in Houston. Got to tell you about Jason Stratt, RE/MAX Suburban. If you're looking to buy a home, you're looking to sell your home, the man you need to call is Jason Stratt. He's got a house right now in Orion Township, 2807 or Orbit in Orion Township. Oh, it just sold. Oh, look at that. Jason Stratt's got a house that sold. He's got another home right now. His home of the month here in November, 22105 Avalon in St. Clair Shores for $89,900. $89,900. Great home, 3 bedrooms, partially finished basement with a full bath, walking distance to downtown St. Clair Shores and shopping or restaurants. Perfect for a first-time home buyer. It's under $100,000. $89,900 for this 22105 Avalon home in St. Clair Shores, 3-bedroom home. Think about Jason Stratt when you're thinking about buying or selling a home. Real estate, refinancing, he's the man to call at RE/MAX Suburban, 586-634-2612. That's 586-634-2612. All right? Jason Stratt's the man. He answers his phone. Great family man. Will talk sports with you. 90% of his clients come from referrals. So when you guys hear me talk about Jason, he did my home. All right? When I bought my home, Jason was the realtor, and he was awesome to deal with. So please give him a call. 586-634-2612. That's 586-634-2612. All right, so Sunday the Lions will go to Minnesota to face the Vikings. We're going to talk to Greg Aumann coming up momentarily from Locked On Bucks. But I want to get this in real quick before we get Greg on here. You look at the standings in the NFC, and you look at where these teams stand, and I've talked about it ad nauseum on the podcast. And I was one of the first people to say the Lions are not going to go into Minnesota and win. Not when the Vikings are rolling out 8 Pro Bowlers defensively. Not when Mike Zimmer had that team, especially earlier in the year when they started off 5-0 and just were stopping everybody. And look, they're 3-0 at home. They're going to be difficult to deal with. But Minnesota last night looked god-awful. God-awful against the Bears. And have major problems on the offensive line. They put up 10 points, 10 measly points against Chicago. And Sam Bradford nearly got decapitated on numerous occasions. With T.J. Clemmings, the rookie right tackle, and with Jake Long, who looks long in the tooth. And I know, hey, we love Jake Long, former Wolverine. Yay! Jake Long can't play anymore. There's a reason why he was out of football at the start of this year. The Vikings are banged up on their offensive line. Alex Boone went out last night with a concussion. Minnesota's O-line is terrible. And if the Lions can get some pressure on the Vikings on Sunday, and I still don't think the Lions are going to beat the Vikings. But man, oh man, I talk about the NFC being wide open. We had the Vikings as a shoe-in to win the division 2 weeks ago. Now all of a sudden, they can't block. They can't run the football. They can't protect the quarterback. And if you recall a couple of years ago when the Lions went into Minnesota and absolutely destroyed Teddy Bridgewater and company when they were playing those games at University of Minnesota, it's the same type of situation. The Vikings are in dire straits on the offensive line. They can't score. You look in the division, Lions have put up 183 points, Packers 172, Vikings at 139. Okay, the last 2 weeks, they just have not been able to move the football, and the Bears ran the football on them, which obviously we know is not the Lions' strength by any stretch. But the last couple of weeks, they're having a lot of problems putting points up. 10 points in their loss at the Eagles, 10 points in their loss last night at Chicago. You expect them to come home and get well against the Lions. But if Terrell Austin can dial something up and get their defense attacking and running right at Sam Bradford and knock him out of the game, get Sean Hill in, whatever, the Lions have a chance. I was stunned watching some of that Monday night game last night at how bad the Vikings offensive line is. And again, they've got a ton of injuries. Khalil's been out. But boy, oh boy. They're in trouble, and they're going to come home, and certainly their crowd's going to be into it. They haven't played at home in a couple of weeks since they knocked off Houston, and this was a team that still very good defensively. But last night, Jordan Howard was able to run on them. That Vikings defense was on the field a long time. The Lions need to do the same thing Sunday. So the door's open, all right? I thought it was slammed shut. I'm still not thinking I'm picking the Lions to win Sunday at Minnesota, but all right, that's a major, major problem that the Vikings have Sunday is their offensive line. Keep an eye on that. Greg Aumann from Locked On Bucks coming up in a second. First, I got to tell you about my man, Freddie Bello at Freddie's Pizza in Melvindale. Oh, hello, holidays are coming up. Through New Year's, catering from Freddie's Pizza in Melvindale. You want to feed 15 people with a full tray of mostaccioli for the holidays, full antipasto, and 3 extra large pizzas for $7 per person? It's all right there for you at FreddieThePizzaMan.com. Or stop by and talk to him. Freddie the Pizza Man is the best, all right? Best goulash, ravioli, New York slices around. And for lunch, right there at 17900 Allen Road in Melvindale, you get 2 New York slices and a drink for under $5. $4.99. You want to feed 30 people for $14 per person? Double it up. trays and trays of masaccioli, antipasto, 3, 6, 9, whatever extra large pizzas. Give them 1 or 2 days notice. All right. And Freddie will take care of you. All the information is right there at Freddie, F-R-E-D-I, thepizzaman.com. FreddieThePizzaman.com. Open for lunch Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. He opens Saturday. He opens at 11 a.m. Go get a couple of slices and great hospitality from Freddie and his staff right there on Allen Road in Melvindale, just minutes from the Lions compound in Allen Park. Go in there and say, Stafford, our leader. Say S-O-L, Stafford, our leader. And Freddie will give you some money off the food. All right? Seriously, he's in love with Matthew Stafford. FreddieThePizzaman.com. F-R-E-D-I, thepizzaman.com. All right, Lions make a roster move today. A couple of moves today, but a trade is Bob Quinn, the new general manager, as I like to call him, the maestro, busy on trade deadline day, acquiring Jonathan Banks, the cornerback from the Bucs, for a conditional 7th-round pick in 2 years. Greg Allman joins us from Locked On Bucs and the Tampa Bay Times to discuss it. Thanks, Greg.
Hey, glad to be on. You're doing well.
So tell us about Banks and why did he fall out of favor with the Bucs? This is a guy that was highly regarded out of Mississippi State just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I mean, you know, back in 2013 was a 2nd-round pick, was a Thorpe Award winner, and played well. I mean, his first 2 years in the league, I think he started all but 2 games here, 7 interceptions his first 2 years, which I think was the most of any cornerback in his draft class. And then, again, I mean, he's on his third coach and his third defensive coordinator, and, you know, last year kind of fell out of favor with Lovie Smith, had gotten benched during the year, even got the starting job back at the end of the year for the last 2 weeks. So there had been some thought that, you know, the guy would be contending for a starting role going into a contract year for free agency. And then the Bucs just went another direction. I mean, the Bucs signed Brent Grimes, gave Brent Grimes maybe $7 million a year, which means he's a starter. And then they drafted Bernard Hargreaves in the first round. So he really just had 2 premium players brought in ahead of him. Bucks don't really sub out the cornerbacks at all. So hasn't played a snap on defense yet this season, which is wild. And wasn't even really a special teams player recently. He was inactive the last 2 weeks. So they're not really losing anything on the field, but you feel bad for a team to have so much invested in the player and have to walk away like this.
Is there something, Greg, that he did wrong? Was he toasted and burnt a bunch the last couple of years? It just fell out of favor? Or is this just an episode where new management, like you mentioned, 2 new coaches because he was a Shiano guy when he started, and now it's Dirk Cutter. Maybe he just wasn't one of their guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those where, I mean, the Bucs secondary last year was a terrible secondary. I mean, they allowed their opponents to throw 70% completions against them. I mean, they gave up 31 touchdowns, just a bad, bad defensive secondary as a whole, but it was almost interchangeable. No matter who they brought in there, they had issues. They tried all kinds of options. They traded out both starters multiple times during the season, and nothing really worked with the scheme that Lovie Smith had. So I never got the sense that Jonathan Mace was terrible or was beaten consistently. They just, for whatever reason, they weren't making plays. You didn't know whether the change to Dirk Cutter and Mike Smith here would help him maybe. You know, Banks is a guy with good size. I mean, better size than most NFL corners. Almost has safety kind of size. But again, for whatever reason, just kind of fell out of favor. Wasn't really somebody that was really looked at. I think they had him on roster largely as kind of insulation, like injury insurance. If something were to happen to your starters, then you have somebody who's been a starter you can go to. But did not make any kind of relevant plays for this team this year.
Greg Allman with us. Tampa Bay Times covers the Bucs and hosts Locked On Bucs right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. You mentioned his size, 6'2". Everybody needs cornerbacks. It's a passing league. Has his speed dwindled over the last 4 years, or is he still a guy that can run a little bit?
No, I wouldn't think of it as plus speed, but adequate speed, good coverage speed. He and Darius Slay are tight. I mean, they played together at Mississippi State, came out the same year. They should be really good friends in the locker room. And obviously Slay's been a huge playmaker for the Lions. So that's somebody that I'm sure can vouch for him and speak well for him and kind of give him a comfort level just in terms of knowing people in that locker room through him.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned Brent Grimes and drafting Hargreaves and everything else, but I just said it, Greg. I mean, every team needs cornerbacks, nickel guys, guys getting dinged up all the time. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's not like you're saying he's a bad guy or a bad player. That's why I'm scratching my head a little bit about this.
No, it is. I mean, the Bucs have had a surplus. I mean, they have another guy named Altron Werner who's making $6 million a year and, like Banks, has fallen out of favor and is essentially a special team hasn't played a down of defense in the last two or three games, I think. And it's odd to be paying a guy $6 million, you know, to essentially play special teams and be ready in case there's an injury. But that's what the Bucks have done. I think ideally the Bucks would have liked to have gotten more. If you're trading from a surplus, you'd like to get something more than a conditioned seventh round pick. That's basically, you know, the smallest thing you can get back from a team is maybe a late round pick 2 years from now. But that's all they were able to get. If there was more out there, you know, I'm sure they would have taken advantage of it.
Final thing, Greg, it just seems like all these teams in the NFC are all the same. We saw it again last night, Monday Night Football, where Minnesota supposed to go into Chicago and handle its business. It hasn't. Tampa sits at, what, 3-4 right now, kind of one of those types of teams. What kind of direction are the Bucks going in, and how close are they to what Detroit is doing? Are all these teams just kind of thrown into a hat right now?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely in that logjam in the middle of things. I mean, I think they went into Sunday's game, you know, with the Raiders hoping to build on things. Had a two-game win streak, had a three-game homestand opening up. And again, came up short on Sunday. Now they have a tough task Thursday with the Falcons in town, you know, with maybe the best offense in the NFL right now. They got to play them, you know, on a short week after having 95 snaps on defense against the Raiders. So it doesn't look good. They could easily be a 3-5 team on Friday. But, I mean, I think, you know, they're taking a step forward. They were 6-10 last year. I think most people had thought they'd be better, but didn't know how much better. It's probably frustrating just because the division is very much up for grabs. And if they beat the Falcons on Thursday, they'll be a half game back and they'll have swept the team leading the division. But you also see New Orleans and Carolina kind of waking up from their early funks. So, it'll be interesting to see. There's a lot of difference between a 7-9 team and a 9-7 team, but we'll see which one the Bucks are closer to here over the next few weeks.
Greg, I'd be remiss. Banks, you said Jonathan Banks, of course, acquired by the Lions today from the Bucks for a seventh-round pick. You said Banks hasn't played a single snap defensively all year. Has he complained? Has he said anything in the media that would maybe tick off management?
And to their credit, Banks, I mean, this is something Banks has gotten used to. Banks didn't really say a whole lot last year when he got benched. Does a good job of kind of staying out of the locker room during open locker room. I had talked to him briefly. It was a game this year where he had to play on special teams, and I asked him about it, and, you know, kind of, you know, it happened. But, you know, it's one of those where he's definitely been the good soldier and not been very critical of the lack of playing time. He'll tell you it's a job. He does what he's asked to do, and that's about it. And you can certainly hear there's a certain, you know, frustration in his voice, but he didn't do anything, either coaching staff here, to do the wrong things or hurt himself that way.
Greg Allman, Locked On Bucks. Thanks, brother.
Have a good one, man. Take care.
All right, thank you to Greg Allman, Locked On Bucks, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Check out his work all over the Locked On Podcast Network. Really, we're the most growing and developing sports podcast network in the world right now. All sorts of good stuff, including Dan Feldman's take on KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, on Locked On Pistons. Check that out as well. We'll be back again tomorrow, and that'll wrap things up for another edition of Locked On Lions. As always, or at least today, we're brought to you by Freddie the Pizza Man and Freddie's Pizza in Melvindale and Jason Stratt at Remax Suburban.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.